Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Past players. Past legends. Past legends.
We're indeed privileged tonight to welcome a true legend of South Australia and Australian football in Neil Craig aboard. And if we read out all of Craigie's achievements, we'd still be here next week. But he's a winner of the Callum Tompkins Medal, also Premiership player, obviously, 75 and 78 at Nord. Sturt, best and fairest, runner-up, advertiser team of the year, club captain, 85 and 86. 11 games for South Australia, 84 state captain, overall 319 games, 220 goals. Fitness guru at the Crows, obviously Crows coach, involved at several clubs, and we'll carry that along the journey. But welcome aboard, Neil.
Malcolm, thanks for having me along, mate. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Neil. Like we generally like to start with most of our guests, is we'd like to go back to sort of where it all began, whether you started playing your junior football through your school, or was it for a local club, or and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, it started for me, Peter, back in a country town called Maitland on York Peninsula. Our family had a farm just out of Maitland, about 14, 15 k's out of Maitland. But that was where I went to primary school. Pretty much the Maitland Football Club was my introduction to Australian footy. And it was a fantastic introduction as well. I was having a discussion the other day with someone, and I just made mention of when I reflect back on those early days, you know, and I'm talking probably there as a 10, 11, 12 year old, just the sheer joy that I remember of going to training, parents taking you to training, you know, the session was once a week. Just couldn't wait to get there, the fun and the absolute joy that they provided. So I played with Maitland. I played for the sort of the junior Colts, which was, I think then was under 14. Would have been under 14s back in those days. Mm-hmm. So I played my first game in the junior Colts as maybe a 10 or 11 year old. I came off the bench. I remember the coach saying to me, "I want you to go into the forward pocket." And I remember, yep, I'm running out, and I had no idea where the forward pocket was. So I ran back and said, "Where is the forward pocket?" And that's where it all started for me, Peter. And then, as a 13-year-old, I was lucky enough. I was coming down to Adelaide anyway to go to school, as secondary schooling. Which was sort of part of what our family did after primary school. We most of my brothers and my sister came down to Adelaide, so I was no different. I was lucky enough to be sort of recruited, if you like, by the Norwood Football Club. I remember a guy called Max Goodger came across and visited our farm and our house, I just couldn't. I couldn't wait to get to Adelaide because it's, I just had a real passion for footy. I was coming to Adelaide anyway, and to be involved in a place called Carmel Court, you know, where there was a whole range, I think it was, that had the capacity to hold about 22 recruits, you know, all with a want, a desire, a passion to play league football for the Norwood Football Club. So I was in my absolute element. The only problem with that, Peter, of course, as a 13-year-old, I was the youngest, and the next oldest guy was 17. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Craigie.
Yeah, so there was a lot of good experiences going on, you know, in those early days as a 13-year-old mixing with 17-year-olds. But, you know, you have different phases in your life, but that period from 17 to probably 17 or 18 years of age when I was at Carmel Court was some of the best years of my life. Absolute fun and enjoyment and stimulation. You know, and just to be in an environment where everyone had this passion to play, you know, in the league side in the SANFL with Norwood. And so we'd train together, we'd go out together, we'd eat together, socialise together. It was just a fantastic environment, you know. It sort of wouldn't be able to survive now, but it did back in those days because you could recruit from anywhere in the state. You know, we still had
And it was probably ahead of its time. And you think of the players who bought it, who lived at Carmel Court, you know, Michael Taylor, Neil Button, John Wynn, Ian Stasenowski, Danny Jenkins, Greg Turbell, the late Jim Till, late Glenn Rosser. They're not just it's the elite of Australian footy there. We're not talking just you know, we're not
talking models there, Malcolm.
Yes, yeah, well, in different ways.
In different ways, yes.
Yeah.
If only those walls could talk at Carmel Court, yes.
Thank God they don't talk, mate. Yes. But you see, in terms of the, you know, for want of a better word, the success rate, you know, of the guys that went through Carmel Court and the number of guys that went on to play you know, league footy for Norwood. It was just a huge success.
So
huge success for the club, and it just gave so many young guys an unbelievable experience as well. So it was a win-win. It was a fantastic time for me and to be at the Norwood Football Club.
And I scored for Kenzie Cricket Club as a kid, Pete. Mm-hmm. And so in summer I'm scoring in cricket, and at Parkinson Oval, the oval up the top was the hockey oval, and there was Phil Carman, Neil Craig, and the late Robert Odie training together. And it was unbelievable to watch. If Ross Dillon was playing cricket for Kenzie, there was a few more of the Nord guys came out. But it was just generally watching these two freak elite athletes who are well ahead of their time and just pushing the crap out of each other. And Robert Odie willing himself to keep going to keep up with you two lunatics. It was incredible to watch, Craigie. Yeah. I really mean that.
Yeah. So and sort of the environment sort of created that, Malcolm, you know, like because Phil Carman, of course, was at Carmel Court, and his mum was there.
Yep.
She was Anne Carman. And Gil Butchard's mum was there as well. So they had the job of looking after us all, and what a job that was. But
Margaret Butchart, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, and we used to go up to Kensington Gardens, and we'd go up there and train, and at the drop of a hat, and we'd just get a group of guys, and you go up, and you create your own little games or your marking contest, or it was just a classical, fantastic environment. And of course, you know, talk about ahead of your time. Like Phil Carman was ahead of his time with the way he went about his footy. And we know, you know, we know the career that he had. So it was, you know, to be able to train with Phil, and be part of all that was a great experience for me.
Well, Phil held athletic records at Pembroke for over 30 years, and there's people in the athletics game industry, if you want to call it, in the know who are adamant that Phil wouldn't have only been an Olympian, that he would have medaled in the decathlon. Was how Phil was regarded athletics wise, geez, you gave him more than competition, Craigie. As I said, I was in awe watching you two do during that. Now, Craigie, so your junior career at Norwood got a touch of success. I'm trying you in winning the McCallum medal, the 17s, and then the next year the 19s McCallum medal. I think you're the only person to do that in SANFL history, but I haven't got that for sure, but I think you were 73. Your league debut, so you're well and truly the, you know, everyone at Norwood. Hey, this kid's coming, and this kid can play, and very switched on right from before day one. just obviously Carmel Court playing a part in that, and then you know, made your league debut.
Yep.
And then go for it. And then you've ended up really extremely young as a pair of Rovers. Normally it was sort of, you know, one with an experienced other one, but it was you and Turbs together.
Yeah.
Were our Rovers in the 75 Premiership side, and yeah, who and both of you more than played your role.
Can I ask who you debuted against?
I think I debuted at Adelaide Oval against Central Districts. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yep.
And the reason I say that, Pete, is because I just remember how fast the game was. That was the thing I took out of it. That's just the speed of the game. As like anything, you adjust to it. And it was like when I played my first state game, the thing that stood out to me was just the speed, you know, that things happen. So, so that was sort of back in the early 70s. And you mentioned Greg Turbell, who was also at Carmel Court.
Yep.
I think you
might have studied a bit more at Nord High than Turbs did, though, Craigie.
Yeah. Wasn't he a great player, Greg Turbell?
Unbelievable.
So, once again, it's just another player that came through the Carmel Court system.
And even Nord High-wise, Pete, I was in first year in the Nord High side in 75 of G2, N. Craig, Jim Derrington, David Palm, Ray Laddams, Michael Holliday, the older Hall, Bob, I'm trying to think of his first name, not John Hall's older brother, Bob, Robert, I think. And Nord High won the state championships. I reckon it was against Henley at footy, and we all went down on the bus to Footy Park. So it's certainly that's a memory as well.
Geez, you got a good memory. I've got a better memory than I got on that one. But so I mean, we used to walk up to Nord High from Carmel Court.
Yeah.
Carmel Court was just down in Kensie Garden. So there was a bunch of us that would walk up there. And once again, back in those days, you train 1, 2, 3, 4 times a day. Like you train, you'd have kick the kick before school. You'd have kick the kick at recess time. You'd have kick the kick at lunchtime. You'd have kick the kick at afternoon recess, and then you'd have another go at the end of the day. You know, so you were just in this environment, and all you wanted to do was play and train and become as good as you can. And it was all fun. You know, it was just absolute fun to be part of it. So, yeah, Carmel Court Nord High days, great memories.
And as Malcolm was alluding to, that obviously you teamed up with Turbs for the 75 grand final there, and some memories?
Yeah, 75 against Glenelg, I think it was.
Yes, 9-10 to 7-10, Craigie.
Yeah.
Fred Phillis, 6 points with those lovely golden boots, yep.
Yeah. So 75 and 78 were 78 was a different year again. It was against Sturt, you know, in a famous game, really.
Yep. 16-15 to 14-26.
Yeah. You're on the money. So Turbs and I, we would have been, 18 years of age, I guess, back in those days, in that first premiership, I think, 18, 19 or something like that. So once again, you know, we're lucky enough to be involved in a club that sort of, when I first started, it was rebuilding through Robert Odie and Wally Miller. They'd sort of just basically, through all the recruiting, Carmel Court had reset the club. Then Bob Hammond came in and sort of took over, you know, in would have been the probably mid-70s.
74 was his first year, like 74 was Bob's first year.
And that sort of kick-started, you know, a very successful era for the Norwood Footy Club from there onwards for a long period of time.
73, though, it's where Robert Odie's so unlucky. That game against the final against North, you know.
Yeah.
Controversial free kick paid to Dennis Sack, sorry. And even then, the ball goes out on the full and rebounded straight off the wall back to Barry Stringer to play on. Like, normally if the ball hits a wall, it's not going to go straight back to the player standing there. No. It goes anywhere else.
Yep.
So, as we know, it's such a fine line. And we'll get to this later on your coaching. But we all go, we pick the hell out of everything instead of, it is such a fine line in the end.
Yeah,
for the bullshit of you know, he's hopeless, he can't coach, and he's a genius. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, even, you know, as you're talking now, Malcolm, I mean, my memory goes to the St Kilda Footy Club, you know, with, I think, Ross Lyon at the bouncing ball. Like, that ball just normally sits, you know, as it normally would. They win a grand final.
Yeah.
But it just – so, I mean, it's – and that's why you've just got to, you know, with all that sort of all those sort of games, you just got to be quite unemotional towards it, and just, as you said, it's sometimes it just comes down to luck, you know. And so, anyway, that's what it is, and that's you know, that's high performance sport, or any sport really, but high performance sport is what we're talking about. So,
77, Craigie, you win the best and fairest, most McGarry Medal vote, state representative, advertiser team of the year, and also a member of almost what for me is the forgotten premiership at Nord, the Art of Cup premiership side against East Perth, playing against Mikalchek, Melrose, Kelly, Glendenning. It was a fair opposition, and it was a great game. And I just reckon that gets glossed over a bit of what that achievement was. And I know Jonathan Francis feels the same on that one too. It was an achievement, probably, which hurt a bit at the end of the year because, as Wally said, we lost Jim Till getting injured and against the Canberra side in a night game. It probably hurt us in the end, but it wasn't a significant achievement as well.
Yeah, Wally. So just refresh my memory there, Matt. Was that the Art of Cup?
Yes, the Art of Cup,
yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. So it's a long time ago. But I remember those games, and I reckon it would have been in 78 when the premiership side of the States, like, I remember us playing North Melbourne.
Yeah, yep, that was in 78, yep.
You know, at the end of the year, and playing against guys like Croswell and Malcolm Blight, you know, Barry Cable, these sort of that quality, Glendenning and those sort of quality players. So when you look back on it, like the competition, even though we've got a national competition now, like the level of play back then, you know, you were still getting exposed to a high level of competition, not only in your state, but also at the end of the year when you play against, you know, in those Art of Cups and the premiers from each state.
Oh, there wasn't the big gap that a lot of Victorians try to think there was as well either. But we'll keep going on that one, Craigie, because that's another subject of which, you know, I feel pretty strongly about as well.
I think we're all passionate about that one, mate.
Yes.
78, some fond memories, obviously winning the grand final there. But just talk a little bit about the 78 grand final, where Sturt sort of left the door ajar and took full advantage.
Yeah, well, they did. And I think I forget the number of shots they had on goal up to half time, but you know, if you're in their camp, you'd say that that's a game that got away from them.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, but you know, that's the way the game unfolded, and our capacity, the door was ajar, and for our capacity to keep coming and to keep competitive and keep our competitive spirit. And all of a sudden the game turned, and it was sort of, particularly the last quarter, I still remember you could sense the swing in momentum.
Yeah.
You know, coming back to the Nord, to us as a club, and Sturt just couldn't get the momentum back. So, you know, a big loss for the Sturt Footy Club, because I don't think they hardly lost a game that year.
Yeah, they lost one game, Craigie. They were unbelievable that year, Sturt.
Yeah, you know. So they were clearly the best team that year, you know, over the journey, but just couldn't quite get the job done on the day. So, I mean, that was a famous win for the Nord.
And you as a fellow Nord High person won't believe this, but bloody Nord High made us go on a school camp. I missed the grand final.
I've heard this
story. For a freaking school camp, Craigie. You reckon I've...
Dirty.
He's dirty, isn't he?
I'm still more dirty on that than any other loss, you know. So, yes.
That's 46 years ago. You're 45 years ago now.
He's got an attitude problem, hasn't he? He needs some therapy.
I reckon with a few of our previous guests, we've heard this story three times. So maybe this is the therapy. Oh, maybe Craigie, it's a bit cathartic.
Craigie, though, was a naughty... Palmy, I sort of had to tread a bit carefully there because he didn't get picked in the 78 side and he should have. So I had to tread a little bit more carefully there with Palmy than I would have. So, yes.
They were great days. They were fantastic days. It's really good talking about them. So, you know, bring back so many fond memories.
Okay. Now, your decision then to go to Sturt, Craig. There's always been a big mountain made that you had big fallouts and all that. And Let's just write that a bit, Craig. You go for it.
No, what actually it's really interesting when I reflect back on it, Malcolm. Certainly the pull for the Sturt Football Club was Jack Oley.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why it was sort of I mean, we've obviously played against Sturt, you know, when I was at Nord. And I don't know whether it was by fate or the capacity of me, and at the time I wasn't thinking of coaching, but just the way it fell. But I just had this want and desire to.
Oh, I reckon with you, Craig, it was always in your back of your head, I reckon.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But and it was just this desire to play under Jack Oley, because I mean, Robert, his son, was my first league coach.
Yep.
When he was coaching Norwood, and so the way I think in terms of AFL football or football, Malcolm and Peter, has been strongly influenced by the Oley family.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there was that. It was just that desire to play under Jack, and I wasn't disappointed. So when I got there, he was everything that I thought he would have been. You know, it was fantastic to play under Jack and to be exposed to his football intellect, if you like, and the way he went about it, his coaching philosophy. I didn't play there. He wasn't there a long period of time. I think it was only about two or three years that Jack was there before he finished. Yeah. And then John Halbert took over.
Yeah, then Jack Halbert, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, it satisfied that desire. And then, of course, I went to North Adelaide, which was Mike Noonan was coaching North. And that was towards really the end of my career. And the beauty of it all, you know, is my capacity for when Wally Miller asked me to come back to North.
Yeah.
At the end of my playing career. And that was in hindsight. And once again, how lucky have I been? Wally making that phone call to me and asking me whether I'd be interested in coaching the Norwood Footy Club with no coaching experience at all. It was something that brought me back to Norwood. And so when I went, what I felt from going to Norwood to Sturt to North, you know, they were all great experiences, and you know, I wouldn't change it if I had my time again, because it was good to get exposed to different.
We just wouldn't bloody clear your stuff yet. We'd keep you at Norwood, mate. Cost us the 80 premiership, Craigie. It's all right.
What I did feel at the end of my playing career is like a bit of a nomad, like I didn't sort of belong anywhere. And so coming back to Norwood as a senior coach, not only did it give me an opportunity to start my coaching career, but it gave me a sense of belonging again. It sort of brought me back to where it started, and that was one of the biggest gifts that the Norwood Football Club gave me.
Yeah, you've been very strong on that, Craigie, but you've made the point. Your Barmy makes the point that Norwood's his club, and you're very strong on that now. That probably come to the realization there, and hey, looking back and all that. Yep, that's my club, and that's really important to you. And I think as Norwood people, we appreciate that as well.
Yeah, it is. I do feel that very strongly, Malcolm. And I'm very appreciative of the opportunity one that Norwood gave me to play there, but more importantly, to coach there. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I remember after I was appointed, it was a couple of days afterwards. For some reason, I was living over in Hawthorne, and I just jumped on my bike and I just rode down to the footy club. Wally had given me a key to get in, you know, and I just went into the change room. I just sat there and I just looked at the walls. I looked at the ceiling, and I just couldn't believe that I was now sort of the senior coach of the Norwood Footy Club. So, So, you know, yeah, that was a great gift that the club gave me, and I'm very, 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 very much appreciative of that opportunity.
And that's not taking anything away from Sturt and North Adelaide, of course.
No, not at all. No, no, and I enjoyed my time absolutely there at those clubs. And this was sort of a bigger picture, Pete. Like, this is a bigger, a bigger sort of sense of belonging, if you like.
How did you cope then? So you also played in the most infamous SANFL Grand Final, the one-goal North Adelaide Grand Final.
And yeah,
that was a bizarre day. You know, we all turned up as neutrals that day. I'll be honest, I go to a Grand Final as a neutral. I'm ho-hum. I was actually looking forward to the game. I thought, this should be a bloody good game. Yeah. The games between them during the year have been fantastic, and then it was just a bizarre day where North were terrible. Yeah, Port were good, but North were terrible, and it was really weird.
It was a bizarre day is the best way to describe it. I mean, and because in a grand final, when you sort of supposedly, let's assume that you got the two best teams for the year, in the grand final, that normally that's a fairly close defensive type of a game. I think it was nearly about the 20-minute mark of the last quarter. Like, we still hadn't kicked a goal.
Yeah. Poor Craig Burton's remembered as Burton, the guy who kicked the goal. Yeah.
Craig
said to me, he almost would have been better if we hadn't kicked the goal. It would be less I'm spoken about, sort of thing.
So, yeah. I mean, that in itself is a famous grand final, because how bizarre it was. And so it's amazing, isn't it? So you get to experience the absolute euphoria of the Norwood Sturt grand final.
Yeah.
And then you also have the experience of playing in a grand final where at the 20-minute mark of the last quarter that the team you're playing in, you haven't kicked a goal yet, you know. So you talk about the highs and lows of sport. And that's what I mean by I have no regrets from going from one club to the other, because you get those different experiences.
And as you said, the euphoric of 78 and – it had been preceded by the relief of 75. You know, the 25 years, people, I was 12 at the grand final and I was just watching people and observing quietly and that. And there were people just crying and saying, I can go now, and that sort of reaction. And it was incredible relief. I will be honest. Lady standing next to the old man grabbed him and kissed him, and the siren went. And I said, "Geez, that's an upgrade, Dad." Yeah, Mum wasn't really happy with that line, but but it was. I'm sure, I've spoken to a guy, to Kingo and that, when he said it was just watching people back at the club. Just it was the emotion. It meant so much that we'd finally won a flag. Where in 78, it was the euphoria of winning by a point of coming from nowhere and that side of things.
Yeah. So what does that tell you? What that tells you, Malcolm and Peter, is that it's the impact of sport and now we're talking about the SANFL clubs, but you see it all over the world. Like, it's the absolute joy that sort of you start to realise, and the responsibility you have when you get involved in these clubs, particularly when you're sort of involved from the coaching perspective, and as a senior coach, you start to get faced with, and you start to understand the responsibility that you have because of the impact that it has on people. Like, it just dictates their lives, the emotion of a week-to-week situation. And as you said, Norwood winning the 1975, like, the absolute joy and relief that brought to the supporters of the Norwood Footy Club, and I felt that when I coached Norwood, and I felt the same when I coached the Adelaide Football Club, the sense of responsibility that you had because of the impact it can have on a town, really. So it's bigger than sport in some ways.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it.
Now, I know we jumped a little bit ahead in talking a little bit about your coaching with Norwood, but was there any interest from the VFL? A lot of past guests have talked about how they had to weigh up a few decisions to go, and some did and some didn't. But for yourself, were you keen on playing VFL or not?
I think this is once again. I'm backing my memory.
Footscray.
Yeah. I reckon it was nearly the first draft that came in. It would have been the early 80s.
Yeah, it was certainly one of the first. Yeah.
81 or 82 or something, which was sort of that was when the sort of draft system all over Australia started. And I remember waking up one morning and picking up the advertiser and reading that I'd been drafted to the Footscray Football Club.
Yeah.
So there was no contact. Contact or discussion or phone. You just got selected. So what happened is that once I learnt that I'd been drafted, there was some discussion, and I went over there, and actually a guy called Shane O'Sullivan was at Footscray at that time.
Yeah.
Who's famous over here in terms of with the Carlton Footy Club.
Yes, that's right.
Brisbane Bears and also the Footscray, like Shane actually gave Mike Malthouse the opportunity to coach.
Yep.
Who went on to be the, coach more games than anyone in the history of the game. So Shane's got a big part of history. But in the end, my decision was not to go. Why? I was at university. My wife at that time had a teaching job. Financially, it wasn't a huge difference between what was being offered in the VFL then, mm-hmm. versus what you could generate here. I mean, there was a gap, but it wasn't it wasn't a huge gap. And I was enjoying my footy here. So I think at that time there were state games and maybe State of Origin were starting to come in. So you still got that level of competition. So I just made a decision, rightly or wrongly, not to go. So, and I have no regrets whatsoever, none whatsoever.